I have been for the last 20 years very, very diligent in taking 1 month out of my busy life, 1 month where I just switch off the telephone and I'm not available for the computer any longer, computer communications. And I go to Vrindavan or sometimes on an island in the Mediterranean Sea, where I just chant from morning till late at night the holy names. And I have seen that during this time, something significant has happened in my own life. I have seen that I can really contact the source of my own inner strength, which is really a relationship to Krishna. I think most of our lives, at least my life, without going on retreat, is simply a life where we bend down low to the 1,000 little urgent things which constantly are thrown at us by the great wave called life. You know, when you are in South Africa, in Durban, and you enter the ocean, you can see waves coming at you and splashing at you. And life usually is experienced a little bit like standing in that ocean. This happens, that happens. I just was in London and so many things happen. Food happens all the time where I stay. Then there's all the time the plumbing happens. Yesterday, Gaurahari expertly worked on the heating system so that it broke down effectively. And then this morning, I was happily resting, and already the handyman were there working in the same room. And I thought, oh, we are in India. It's it's a very, very lively. Life always throws different things at us. Appointments, meetings, children. You know, one of our arrangers has become a father 3 days ago. Whoop, a child is in his life and he has to now stay home and learn the art of tying the diapers. Life is constantly changing. Life is constantly bombarding us in this world. Therefore, it is important sometimes to retreat from the wave so that you can find yourself, that you know what is important to you, that you connect with God. If you always react and are an outwardly facing man who deals with the wave of life, you will lose yourself in the process, even if you are in Krishna consciousness. Every day you should find a little time for yourself where you retreat from that artificial, superficial material life and connect again with your essence. And this is what we are going to do for these 2.5 days. We are going on retreat. We are leaving the busy world with the tyranny of the 1,000 things, but we are going deeply and concentrating on what is most essential for us, our own selves and our relationship with Krishna. The first retreat was done rather spontaneously. The first public retreat which I ever held was done rather spontaneously about 15 years ago. At that time in ISKCON there was a nice devotee, who offered transformational seminars. I attended one and was impressed, but also I felt the need to think a little bit further. This devotee mostly used modern techniques borrowed from psychology to bring his participants during his retreats into a new experience. Some of these experiences were cathartic, you know, you would come during the seminar, you would be exposed to some aggressive techniques which would push you in a corner, and then out of being in the corner you would spontaneously react and something new came out of you which you didn't know was even there. These are called cathartic experiences. And while I saw the relative value in it, I felt the deep need to see, well, this is Western psychology, but what do we have to offer from our tradition, from the Gaudiya tradition? What can we do in order to come into a new space where we discover ourselves anew and where we discover Krishna anew? And I asked this question and then reviewed my own retreats and could very clearly see, if you do chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a very deep and guided way, you will see two things. You will see that you are becoming free from the artificial life, the artificial thoughts, and you will see, on the other hand, how you become clear about who you are and what is your own true path. I could see this, and therefore invited 20 bold devotees to come with me in the Alps, the Swiss Alps, into a house. Gaurahari will have to correct me here. It was in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. It was Hari Chalet, the house of Hari. That was how the house was called. It was right in the Rocky Mountains of Switzerland, really beautiful. And we sat for 3 days and chanted each day 64 rounds. Afterwards, we came out of this experience and we all started new lives. Someone became a doctor. Another became a temple president. The devotees who had been and the people who had been with me still report to me that, Maharaj, you gave us a new life. We entered the retreat, we left the thousand little things, the tyranny of the thousand little things behind, and we discovered where is our glowing yes. We discovered what we really would like to do in terms of our life and in terms of our spiritual progress. So, wow, I said, it works. We did another retreat in the same place and a third retreat in the same place. And then something like a formula emerged, a formula of giving retreats in our movement of in Krishna consciousness, and we took that formula, worked with it over 10 years or so, and are now offering these retreats according to some of the principles all over the world. The Chinese devotees are just preparing a retreat. Our last retreat was in Russia with 500 participants. Russia means many people. We are very, very encouraged now to share this with all of you. It is an experiment for all of us. We are now in the Alps, in the mountains of England, so to say. It's an experiment because it's the first time where I do this in England. And I have also seen that English people are very busy, so we can't take 7 days out of their life. We can take 2.5 days for a retreat out of their life. And you are the first ones to really go through the experience now in England. And I want to congratulate you first of all, and I would like to thank you for your trust and your faith in both Pradyumna Prabhu and myself. Pradyumna Prabhu will be assisting me throughout this retreat. You have followed our invitation into this new space, and I think your life will be different than when you came into this hall, when you leave us again. I'm very, very dedicated to help all of you to make that experience which Krishna has lovingly placed in your spiritual journey, that experience which you have to discover on the last day of the retreat. That is Sunday in the goodbye session, which we call taking the retreat home. Then you will discover your treasure. Until that time, we will have a little work ahead of us. We have a little intense practice. We will do meditations. We will do deep soul searching. We will do discussions. And we will go very deep into our life. I want to now request you to turn to your neighbor for just 5 minutes. By the way, what Pradyumna said about time, I really request you to be on time. I know you think in spiritual life I don't have to be on time. I only have to be on time when I go to work. I know that you secretly have this serious illusion. By the way, I will sometimes get on your nerves, but I do it in a loving way. But please, you have come here. You have come to try to make an experience. And one of the guidelines which I will request you to study a little bit longer is to sincerely join a community of seekers. That is, you must be punctual because, see, we had to wait 1 whole hour for you London guys because you just can't be punctual. It's too much with you. Hare Krishna. Everyone, we will be a community, and I can't start. I was 3 minutes before 6 o'clock here. I was ready to charge in the room, and Pradyumna tells me, "The Londoners, the Londoners." And he didn't have to say much more. I knew what it meant. Please, it's very important for your experience to be on time, to commit yourself, to be really with it, to really be present to what you are doing. Good. But before starting in seriousness, I request you to turn to your neighbor, just find someone, and discuss with them what you are expecting to why you have come to this retreat. What would you like to obtain here? I also want to say I expect all of you to take part in these exercises. You will see, I will take you through a series of exercises, and if you don't participate because you think, oh, this discussion is for the young people, not for me, you will not be ready to take important steps. So please, all of you, find a neighbor. Who has not yet found a neighbor? So you have to pair up with a person who has also raised the hand. I think, just look, who has not yet found a neighbor, raise your hands, and then you have to watch. Here's someone. You understand, when you didn't find someone and I asked who has not yet found a neighbor, then those who have not found, look around until they see someone raises their hands, and that's your neighbor. That's your partner in crime. That's my new word. I learned it from the Bengalis. So, Okay, the question is, why have you come to this retreat? If you are one of these people who are thoughtless in whatever they do, and you don't know, it was just there, nothing else to do, then say this to your neighbor: I'm a little thoughtless, I just happen to be here. Honest sharing. You have unfortunately only 5 minutes for this. Thank you very, very much for participating. I would like to tell you a little bit what you can expect from a retreat. A retreat can help us to close a gap. In each person's life, there is usually a gap between that what they know and that what they feel, or a gap between the ideal, which they have not yet attained, and the reality which they experience day by day. Let me speak in Krishna conscious terms. You know that the best thing would be to remember Krishna always and never forget him. But the actual experience is that you remember most of the time material things and never forget material things. There is, in other words, a gap, almost an abyss, a cavity, I think you call it, or cavity, between where you are and where you wish to be in your life. And this, I would say, gap with two opposite poles, the ideal and the reality, creates an inner tension. Many of those who are following the spiritual path and who are not yet there where they wish to be have an inner tension, a discontent, or if they don't want to confront this gap, they go to the other extreme, that is, into the compromise, a compromised life. But also those who live, who don't try to confront that I am so far away from my goal, and start to compromise their life, do have this tension, this discontent with their life. And there are many ways which people deal with this, and I don't want to talk about the immature ways, like eating a lot or diverting their attention to unrestricted sense gratification and so on, just so that they don't have to think about the issues they confront in their lives. Huh? There is a mature way to deal with this gap between our ideal and what we are, you know, and that is to go on a retreat. Because during a retreat, you will learn to intensify your spiritual practice. And by intensifying your spiritual practice, you will definitely come closer to your spiritual ideal. I think some of you have attended the Birmingham 24-hour kirtans. Here's our Nitai Charan Prabhu, who is one of the talented organizers. And I think Nitai Kirtan is also there. The two Nitais are here. Yes, I see other organizers. Our Priya is here, and so on. I think you all know doing the 24-hour kirtan practice in Birmingham, when the practice of chanting is intensified and the heat, so to say, is turned up, then people begin to just become very blissful. Some say to me, we wish this never stops. I received emails even from as far as Nairobi. You are too late. Why? Welcome. Welcome. Please study your schedule better. So, I received emails from Nairobi and China where the devotee, where people wrote me saying, we watched 6 hours of this Birmingham 24 kirtan and we feel now different. A businessman wrote me and said, while I'm doing business, I'm always hearing the echo of the holy name. What did you do with us? I said, I did nothing. Nitai Charan Prabhu organized this. The moment you intensify your practice by doing two things, putting energy to your practice and putting focus into your practice. That moment you close that gap, that disturbing gap between, your desires, what you want to attain in your life and the ugly reality of being so conditioned and so diverted and so ordinary. When you start to intensify your practice, you become truly extraordinary. Maybe not that you become it, but your life becomes, your experience becomes. If you again turn down the practice, you might again come into the ordinary realm. But if you do increase the practice, you really come to a different level. Most of you whom I am seeing today have a rope, brought a rope with them, an invisible rope. Let me tell you about this rope. Once there was a circus which burned, and all the animals could escape to freedom except the strong elephants. There were 3 of them which burned. The panthers, the monkeys, everyone else could escape and break free from the cages, but not the elephant. Now later there was an investigation and they found out that the elephants were only tied by a little rope like this, maybe half of it. Maybe like this, to a little plastic pole. And they couldn't understand why could the strongest animal who was bound with a small little something to a small little something not able to escape. Do you know what they found out? They found out that when the small elephants were captured, they were tied with an iron chain to a strong tree. For 1 week, they tried to free themselves. They pulled their little leg in the iron ring until their foot became blood-filled and then infected. And finally, after 1 week of trying to escape, they understood, we will not escape. At that time, the captors of the animals could just use a little thread, almost like this one here, and tie the little elephant to the tree, because the iron chain was in the head. I can't escape. I'm a prisoner for life. All of us have such an iron chain. It's in our head, in our psychology, in the way we think, in our thought patterns. We think, I cannot be a blissful devotee. I cannot be like Lokanath Maharaj. singing and dancing and walking on Padayatra until he walks back home, back to Godhead. I cannot be like Radhanath Maharaj. I cannot smile like Mr. Smiling Swami. I am limited. I am what I am. The chain is in the head. You are an eternal spiritual soul, a part of Krishna, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Why can't you? Because you have surrendered to an ordinary life. You have surrendered to a concept in your head, a chain of iron which conditions you and makes you what we call in our philosophy a Bhadajiva, a bound soul. Bhadajiva, bound soul. So on you are bound, but you have the hope that somehow, maybe at the time of death, when I die, maybe Krishna will come to me and he will somehow save me. But now your life looks the way it looks at present. So let us, during these 2.5 days, learn to intensify our practice. I would like to read you something from my blue book. This is my blue book. It is called In Best Company, this book, because I like this title, because I have many, many good quotations from Srila Prabhupada and from the books. It's my personal inspiration book. It's a book in which I write my idea. And I have written down something which I would like to share with you today. It's something which is almost like a motto for what we will be doing for these 2 days. Srila Prabhupada, when he was for some short time in America, in other words, he had just arrived, he said, "I have not come to teach you anything, but I have come only to request you to please chant the name of God. Please chant this Hare Krishna mantra, be cleansed of your material consciousness, and understand your spiritual identity. During this retreat, we will learn to chant the Hare Krishna mantra to be cleansed of our material consciousness and understand something of our spiritual identity." I don't think that all of you will become self-realized soul, but I expect Pradyumna to become one. And Nidai Charan. I'm sorry, a little humor is always appropriate. So this intensifying our spiritual practice to cleanse our consciousness and to understand who we are is traditionally done in our Vaishnav tradition, doing things like Chaturmasya or the months of Purushottam or Kartik. Every Ekadasi, a person should go on retreat, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says every Ekadasi we should review our life. Welcome. To go on retreat is not something new. To go on retreat is something old. In our tradition, we do it every 2 days, 14 days. We review our life on Ekadasi. You know, Ekadasi is set aside as the Hari Vashara, the day of Hari, where we leave all other activities. Ideally, we even stop our frequent intake of wonderful food, and calm down a little bit to really become internally facing. What can you expect during the retreat? I have written down dirt and nectar you can expect. Srila Prabhupada gave an example. When you turn up the heat under your pot with butter to make ghee, you will see how the impurities in the ghee separate from the pure, transparent oil, ghee, butter oil, we say it in German, Butter or Öl, Butter rein Fett also. You will hear also some German here, because I don't know so well English. As you go onto the retreat and take part in these exercises, which I request you to do full-heartedly, you will actually experience two things. Your own shortcomings will become more revealed to you. You will see as you try to chant, oh my God, I'm so diverted. Oh, this is the present status in which I am. But you will also experience some breakthrough moments of extraordinary spiritual nectar. When you turn up the heat, when you increase the power of your spiritual practice, to overcome that gap between your ideal and the reality, expect nectar, but also please don't become disturbed if you will feel a little bit inadequate, challenged, weak, and so on and so forth. There are six guidelines I would like to build your attention on. They are guidelines which are for your retreat. They're called the pillars of success. Please look at the place, the second page. First of all, this sounds, I know, very interesting for you. Enter a new space. With this new space, I don't mean... thank you, Shivani. With this entering a new space, I don't just mean this school hall of the proposed Avanti school, which really is a wonderful place. I really must thank our Pradyumna Prabhu for this. Whew. You should all visit me in my room. This is a sheriff's room. It's so big. You will just pay obeisances to that room when you... That's so wonderful. I don't mean just a new physical space. I want to ask you to separate from the outside world so that you can cut the dependencies and the usual distractions. That is minimal or no phone. I know that sounds impossible for you who get every day 20 phone calls about very important things. Hare Krishna. Do minimal telephone calls. Now, I remember once in Washington, I had a retreat, and I had two gurus, three sannyasis, two gurus, and one GBC man in the... two GBC men, or three, you know, and some sannyasis. And I made it a point after this first session which we have now to go to each one of them and to hunt them down. I'm a little bit notorious amongst my god brothers. I think I'm usually polite, but when I'm teaching, I really want people to make an experience. And I met the first GBC. I met him typing away on his GBC correspondence. I opened the door. Maharaj, I'm not typing. I'm almost finished. I said, Maharaji, it's for you. It's only for you. When you are busy with a thousand things, how will your mind be free to do the serious work which you have come to do? Kindly, in your own interest, give me your computer. Sachinandan Swami, you are too much. I'm a GBC. You are not.
I said, but I'm your facilitator. Now, and then later I said, Maharaji, you are my superior in all degrees. You decide, but I can only tell you your experiences will be much better if you make your mind free, and when you, so that you can take new inputs. And I told him, if your room is full with old furniture, how will you ever invite many guests? If you have stuffed your room, I'm living in a room where you can't even turn around without carefully calculating your movements. What to speak of, you know, living in the way a tall German is used to live in London, not here. Here I'm in the sheriff's room. How, you know, when you stuff your room totally full, will you ever be able to do something new, like exercises, or like receiving many guests, or like this? So if your mind is so full with so many things, how will you ever make new experiences? So therefore, also I'm requesting you to separate from the outside world a little bit by having minimal telephone and email contacts, no newspapers, and if possible, no TV. I think that's an easy one for most of us. Please try to do it. Now, I know when you are not, have not really prepared yourself to go like this on a retreat, you can do whatever you feel you should do. I mean, I will not control you. Second is, join a community of seekers. Take part fully. Share openly. You know, no secrets here. And please be punctual that we don't have to wait for you. The third pillar of your success for your retreat is, take complete responsibility for your experience. What I mean with this is, trust and depend on your own ability. You know, I can try to help you, to move you and to bring you to your to new zones in your thinking. I can challenge also you at times, but really I cannot take responsibility for your life, nor do I want to do it on a retreat. It is you who have to put yourself into the experience so that you will make your experience. It is really each one of your how do you say this in English? It is your own retreat. It's for you. It's so on. Then I have once I was in the newspaper, or there was an interview. How do you call this? Filming done during a retreat, and I came to point four. I think you all have it here. Enter a symbolic death, and everyone was like, "What?" Enter a symbolic death. What does this mean? It's not enter a death. The word is a symbolic death. It is sometimes found in life that sometimes something old has to go before something new can happen to you. So therefore I'm always saying, during the retreat, practice solitude and silence as much as possible. This is a small retreat, but during the longer retreats, we sometimes have a whole day of silence. It's called monam. But I think let us start a little. When we are only 2.5 days, we shouldn't do too intense practices. But this will help you really to disconnect with the old life and to see something new. Why do you think in India have over many thousands of years people always practice monam, where they became silent to the outside world? Because they wanted to disconnect from the millions of unimportant things and find
the more essential things in their lives. Experience a new birth. Here I mean, whenever you experience something new in your life during the chanting, then please try to hold it in, or to bring it in your life and practice it immediately. Huh? Sometimes in our movement, most of us don't suffer from hearing too little informations. They suffer from hearing too much informations, which they have not digested and implemented in their lives. So during a retreat, I will not talk many, many millions of things to you. I will talk a few things where you will see, oh, now Maharaj turns on the heat, you will feel it. And then I request you, if something speaks to you, if something touches your heart, if you say, oh, let me make a note of that, that is something which is really helpful for me, kindly take this on in and make it a new experience. In this way, experience a new birth. And finally, and I think this is the most important, depend on divine grace. Be a receiver. You know, when you go onto a retreat or into a pilgrimage, and you think, wow, it has to happen, it has to happen, it has to happen, and you become all tensed about it, then the wonderful things in life don't happen. Most of you have gone to Vrindavan, I suppose? Yeah? Who has gone to Vrindavan? Could you kindly raise your... Yeah, most of you. You know, maybe the first time you came to Vrindavan, you thought, wow, I think Krishna will just dance around the lane, around the corner. And then I remember when I was, and most probably am still very immature, but I remember my first visit to Vrindavan. I had heard so much, this is the land of Krishna. And Krishna is worshipped in 33,000 temples, and I had heard so much, and I expected something extraordinary to happen. I sat down at Keshigat and thought, the sun is setting, soon I will hear the flute of Krishna. And then I see all of a sudden a snake. The English word, I think, is slithering over the steps. And I ran away, and I thought, this is a... I ran away from the steps, and I thought, but I expected to see Krishna, not a snake. And much later I understood that I had come in a wrong frame of mind. You know, go through your retreat, and whatever signpost Krishna chooses to put on the road, left or right, is just perfect for you. Not in the achiever's mode. I will now come out of the retreat a super japa man or super japa woman, so on. Whatever Krishna gives you, that you can do. Fine. This is... I have two more points. Let me see where we are in time. Mm-hmm. Two more points I have. I wanted to introduce one thing for your practice. It's called the complaint-free rubber band. Every one of you got one of those very beautiful blue rubber bands? Yes. Good. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a powerful advice which will help us to always chant the holy names. He gave us actually two practical advices. first was to chant in a mood of Dainya, and the second is to chant with a genuine longing for Krishna. Nayanam Galadashudaraya. So, humility is a prerequisite for someone who wishes to chant properly. But it's not always easy to tell your mind, be humble now. Very difficult to tell your feelings what they should feel. You can't command yourself to develop a humble feeling in your life. But you can practice something which will bring about humility. You can practice tolerance. When you are tolerant to the big and small mistakes of others, then a humble feeling will come. I heard that one person was very upset that the London devotees came late and we had to start the retreat later. Now, I want to ask this person, please, you will remain unidentified, that's important. And I want to ask all of you, what happens when you become upset? At that moment, something enters your mind. Your mind becomes restless, agitated, upset. Waves begin to move in your mind. And the result of it is that it is very difficult for you to concentrate on your spiritual practice. When we become angry because we cannot tolerate the mistakes which others have done, then we don't harm the other people at which we are getting angry, we harm ourselves. When I drink a cup of poison, it's me who is harmed, not the other person whom I want to show. There was once a saint called Ignat. He lived in the 16th century, if I'm not mistaken. And it so happened that one day a man passed his little hut who was a professional gambler. This man was on his way to a group of other gamblers with whom he was playing cards all day and all night. Not all night, but all day. So he saw Ignat chanting very, very peacefully his rounds, and he sat with Ignat because he felt his life was so wretched. Let me sit with the saint at least for an hour. So he came 1 hour late. His friends asked him, why did you come 1 hour late? Oh, I sat with the saint. Why? I wanted to feel the peace which he feels. So one of the other gamblers didn't like that. And he said, your saint is also not peaceful, just like us. Tomorrow I will show the whole world and make him angry. In the morning, this gambler sat on a flat roof and waited for Ignat to end his bath in the river. Ignat dried himself, he came up, and he passed that man who sat on the roof as he was going back to his house. And this man had been chewing pan, or betel. You know, it makes the saliva turn very red. And then, he spit it on his clean body and his nice clean cloth. Ignat was all red. you know, the body, and the body not so little, but the cloth was all red.
He looked up at the man who looked down.
He looked on his cloth.
He looked up at the man. He didn't say anything. He tolerated. And he went to take his bath in the river again. Now you all know, especially the ladies who wash cloth, beetle-stained cloth is very hard, difficult to really wash and make it clean. It's very, the stains will remain. So he tried, and then he came out of the river again, went home again. He had to pass by this path, and again the man went. Ignat looked at his cloth, looked at the man, looked at the cloth, and returned to take his bath. My dear devotees, he did this 21 times. 21 times. Krishna Vallabhad, what do you think? 21 times. Always the same. Looking, 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 and returning. After the 21st time, I'm already getting dry in my mouth. This rascal was so dry, muscles were aching, and he said to Ignat, "Why are you not becoming angry?" He couldn't spit any longer. All gone. Saliva gone. Listen at Ignat's answer. He said, "When I become angry, I harm myself. Every time I'm full of anger, it takes the body 6 months to get the poison out of the system. 6 months. By the way, I have seen in Psychology Today, that's an American journal, that a man was made angry, that that was reported, and his condensate, you know what the condensate is? When you go like, was scrapped and given to a guinea pig, and that guinea pig died. So much poison is produced when you become angry, Pradyumnaji. Don't know if you know. It gets out through the breath, through the sweat also, and so much poison was produced by just a little anger, 1 minute or so, that a guinea pig was could be died. Then they made this man angry for 1 hour. They needled him. And they again and again asked him to 80 guinea pigs were killed. This is Western science. This is not so impressive as far as the methodology is concerned. But I think the point is really clear. Anger makes you very, very, very contaminated. And it's not good for your spiritual life. So therefore, we have introduced the anti-complaint rubber band. It's not that you all, the idea is not that you should find my retreat good. No. You should just, when something happens which is not according to your liking, you should use the rubber band by just doing like this. When you find you criticize someone, you take the rubber band and you change it. We all are lazy. We don't like to change things. But if we change it, somehow we send a symbol send a signal to our subconsciousness that we are not meant to criticize. I did this, you know, I was in the room and there was one of you playing Midanga, and it was not the right beat, and I immediately began to criticize the person. Then I understood, oh no, I'm so intolerant. This devotee tries his best to play Midanga. Let me change my complaint-free rubber band. And I became aware, again, I have criticized a poor soul. Oh no, Sachinandan Swami, what is this? And so on. And you will see, when you change your rubber band,
when you do this little game, I understand it's for some of you a little childish, yes. But if you do it, you will become first of all aware how much you always complain. Complain against everything. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too this, it's too that, and he doesn't like me, and she is... she has a breath like 20 rotten fishes, and so on. And in this way, you constantly poison your consciousness, which will reflect in the thing that you won't be able to chant properly, because you are not humble. You're the exact opposite to practicing humility. So this rubber band is meant really for you to practice tolerance, because by learning to tolerate the mistakes of others, the mistakes of the environment, and so on, you will actually enter the kingdom of humility. You will actually enter this kingdom, and you will actually be able to lead a very, very, very have a very nice experience when you chant. Huh? You understand why? It's a practice in humility. You can't tell really your mind to become humble and in this way become qualified to chant. But what you could do is you can practice tolerance, and this will help you to be humble. Clear? Please try it. I also thought when it was first introduced, well, it was a group of people in America who thought everyone is complaining and complaining and complaining. How can we... and by complaining, they always invite negativity in their mind. Huh? So how can we stop this? Well, by this complaint-free world campaign, which was just a rubber band like this. And they thought when we have 60 million people doing this, the atmosphere of the world will become less hostile, and there will be more humility. And later devotees saw it, and Bhujan Prabhu introduced it at the Japa retreat in Govardhana. I thought, I'd never do this. But then I thought, anyways, give me one. You know, it was one of the, not these beautiful Lester bands. It was one of these, you know, really Indian, small, you know, much too small, and only one little string and so on. And I thought, this is really too childish for me. But then I actually did it, just to experience and just to show Bhurijan Prabhu wrong. It didn't work. And I started to, first of all, become aware, again I complained, again I criticized. Acha, I leave this. So this is the first thing. We will try to practice Trinadapi. It won't be just a verse in our verse collection. You will practice Trinadapi by trying this method. If it works for you, I think you will learn a lot. If it doesn't work, no need to complain. Because with complaint, like anger, we always invite negativity into our mind. So, now we will do a little kirtan for the end. This is a holy name retreat, only 15 minutes. I request you to sit a little tall. I would first of all like to do something which helps you to become very attentive. Kindly just raise your hands like you do. Don't worry, it won't be something. And cross your fingers like this. Huh? The small finger and the middle finger go to the root of the thumb.
And the middle finger goes over the finger. Just don't put the arms down. You will see, stretch the arms a little bit. Yes, it's a 45 degree. Very good. Very good. And your thumb should be a little out. And now turn your thumb like this towards the ground. Oh my God, this is a stretch to the ground. Can you feel? As if they go down. Sachinandan Swami, go down. Leave us alone. This is too much. It will help you to just wake up a little. And now imagine there's the best friend behind you whom you can absolutely trust. I don't speak of Krishna, just a human friend who just pulls your hands a little bit back. Ooh. It will help you. It's only an exercise meant to wake up our system. Don't put the arms, please, yet down. Otherwise, they fall off your shoulders if you put them down in an unguided way. And now, please, say this very wonderful mantra. I will say it one time alone and then all together. Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. Yeah, so now you can turn your hands a little bit upwards and slowly on an exhale you can allow your arms to flow down. Please be careful that you don't in your shoulder, just let them come down. And you see you're a little bit more awake. We will chant now together. It's our first and last, as our last exercise today. I request you when you sing now, to really be present to the mantra. You can look at the beautiful, beautiful altar, the extraordinary beautifully altar, or just close your eyes and address Lord Krishna. Do we have a Madanga player? Yeah, we have. Please play softly. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, mind's eye, you can go to a holy place or just somewhere where you are in solitude. And then you can just address Krishna and pray to him that your retreat will bring you to the next level of your Krishna consciousness. Please start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare go.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha. Kanaya la la da de. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jila Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. I thank you very much for kindly participating in this first session called Entering the Retreat. I request all of you to come tomorrow well rested. I think Pradyumna Prabhu will give us a little orientation about tomorrow's day. All I can recommend you that it is nice if you have already chanted a good amount of rounds tomorrow. Good means whatever is your quota, maybe half of the quota. There will be a group japa session, which we will all do together tomorrow. For now, I want to just say, it's good to go a little bit early to bed. I think many of us had a very strenuous week. I know we always went late to bed. And it's good, you know, if you are well rested so that you can be fully present tomorrow, which is really our main day where we will do the majority of our work during this retreat together. And on Sunday, tomorrow is very important. Sunday is also important, but tomorrow is most important. Actually, Sunday is also most important because then is where you will collect the gift, the transcendental gift, the divine gift from Lord Krishna, which is always there at the retreat for everyone. I want to thank you very, very much for your kind attention. I do hope that my German English is somewhat understandable. I am trying to improve, but I'm not so expert as you have heard. So kindly bear with me. I will learn better English in the years to come. I feel very honored to be with you. And please, I need to say, because for some of you, it's the first retreat with me. When I sometimes talk a little bit intensely,
It's really only to bring you to a new awareness and a new space. And don't become shocked, oh, Maharaj is dissatisfied with us or something. It's not at all like this. I want to move you on, and I really, really want to thank the decoration team. My God, is this beautiful. I don't think in TV we have such a beautiful setting, isn't it? Where can you find such a kunj? Thank you so much, really. Today we have also lit the first candle. There are 5 candles.
Yes.
They will all fulfill a very important role, these 5. I cannot tell you now because it's a surprise, but please note. Last thing is, when you go to bed, please think again about the discussion which you had in the beginning of the retreat with your neighbor. I had asked you the question, why have you come to the retreat? What do you wish to obtain? This, if you have not yet found a satisfactory answer, maybe when you listened to entering the retreat, our first session, you got some more clues. It's good if you go to bed with a firm intention so that tomorrow you rise quite, well-rested, when you are well-rested and you already start to chant on your own. Pradyumna, you will also maybe tell us from when this is open. Maybe devotees can come earlier and so on. But please go to bed with a good intention to make this 2 days which you have before you really something which is meaningful, something which is significant to your life, something which is bringing you to your next level where you can be just more happy and more fulfilled and more transcendentally aware in your Krishna conscious practice. Good. Having said this, let us hear our facilitator, our Pradyumna ji.